Before we begin this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to all of my patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Without your support, this podcast wouldn't be able to stay independent. Special shout out to our BBF, BFFs, and that includes Cristian Galindo, Evelyn Preciado, and Cassandra Tapia. Y'all have been riding with us for pretty much day one, so much love to y'all. If you also want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. A dollar gets you access to like text posts and things like that. $5 gets you video episodes of everything, and $10 gets you bonus episodes and so on. You get shout outs and stuff. So consider joining. Times are tough. I get it. We haven't accepted any sponsorships really here since we started. And I want to keep it that way. But this podcast takes time and all that. So if you want to keep us independent, go to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Link in our description. And let's start the show. Hello, hello, hello. It is your host, Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And this week's recession indicator, God, where do we even start? I think the most obvious one is all of the Democrats trying to sabotage Abdul Al-Sayed, who won his primary in Michigan against Haley Stevens as a progressive candidate. Who his tagline is, he wants to get money out of politics, money in your pocket. And they're not liking that because he's like anti-genocide. And the centrist Democrats love their genocide. And he's anti-big pharma, and he is a doctor. So all these things are making them all look bad. And so they've like, try to attack him, but because he's basically like he's a pretty like I have the right to like grit like he's pretty locked in. Like he's such a good candidate as far as every measurable, thing says, every poll, blah blah blah. People love his policies, he's well liked, he's handsome, he's very good at in the media. Especially, he's particularly good when people are like trying to attack him. He went on Fox News recently where the news reporter was trying to bait him to talk shit about trans people and he wouldn't do it. Like, instead, he turned on the host, who kept being like, oh, you want people to like mutilate their children, blah, blah. And Abdul Sayed was like, are you circumcised or uncircumcised? Because we can talk about mutilation, but we got to start with you, bitch. And he basically shut up that part of that interviewer's like point, because that's what they want. They want like this fake like culture war, like bullshit. They want to distract people, make boogeymans out of things like immigrants and trans people, specifically trans women, in order to distract from the fact that like billionaires are robbing us blind, right? So Abdul Sayed has been able to like curve all that stuff, talked about turn that into a moment about like healthcare for all, investing in America and things like that. And so because he's so locked in, they are turning instead their eyes to Hassan Piker, who's like a leftist socialist Twitch streamer, and attacking him for different comments he's made. Most recently, they are attacking him for saying that Jewish people are not monolithic. I'm not even kidding. Like, I wish it was more. But they are literally being like him saying they're not monolithic, and that his point was like they're not monolithic, and we can't be conflating Israel with Jewish people. First of all, that is literally what Jewish people have been telling us, because when you conflate like a genocidal state to a people, a marginalized people, such as Jewish people, then they are then scapegoated into being the reason for that issue. When they are not, right? Like Jewish people do not bear responsibility for the crimes that Israel is committing. But the way that the Democrats and the establishment are making it seem is that like Israel is acting on behalf of Jewish people. And so Hassan Piker's comment that Jewish people are not monolithic was to help people separate the notion that Israel represents Jewish people and to curb anti-Semitism, because I will say, like, it is, well, first of all, like, people who are gonna be bigots are gonna be bigots one way or another, right? So, like, not trying to give too much, like, just want to start there. People who are gonna be bigots are gonna find any excuse to be bigots. But when you have a genocidal state, like, act like claiming that they're acting on behalf of like Jewish people, you have these people coming off from the woodworks who are now using Jewish people as like the cause of problems, right? When what they mean is Israel, right? When now that like the mask is off in a lot of ways about like, holy shit, we can't get Medicare, but guess who has free health care? And it's Israel. And who's funding it? We are, homie. American tax dollars are funding Israel health care. And so when you hear things like that, like Israel represents Jewish people, and then you understand that the US is funding the Israeli state, and then you're like, well, my tax dollars go to the US government, then you start connecting the dots and people start getting mad at the wrong villain here, right? Instead of getting mad at the US government, at the Israeli government, they get mad at Jewish people because they've been told that Israel represents Jewish people. So it is not anti-Semitic to say, hey, not all Jewish people are the same. Not all Jewish people are represented by Israel. It's anti-Semitic to say that they all act in the same, the same. But Democrats have taken that to somehow mean that basically making that, ongoing critique that any critique of Israel is a critique of Jewish people when that's not the case at all. And so I'm going to read off a list of prominent senators and representatives who have criticized Hassan Piker as being anti-Semitic, and I'm going to read off how much money they have been granted by AIPAC, which is the Israeli group that's like funding campaigns and laws and things like that in the US to basically help Israel out, right? And that would be Senator Fetterman, who's gotten $487,000. Cory Booker, famed fucking that one thing he did, filibuster, where he was like standing up for like 24 hours or whatever, and everybody's like, oh, what a hero. And it's like, bitch, a hero for nothing. A hero for platitudes. Because he received $851,000 from AIPAC. Senator Slotkin from Michigan, $517,000. Representative Gottheimer from New Jersey, $2,328,000. Senator Rosen from Nevada, $2,264,000. Representative Lee, also from Nevada, $858,000. Representative Jeffries from New York, $1,495,000. Representative Torres, also from New York, $2,108,000. Representative Schneider, also Illinois, I believe, $1,109,000. $50,000. Representative Schulten, $413,000. Representative Auchincloss for Massachusetts, $1,033,000. So when we look behind the curtain and we see all these people being funded by AIPAC, and all of a sudden they are super protective of this Israeli state, you know, and AIPAC officially stands for Americans for Israel Political Action Committee. You see these people all activate and up in arms about a non-issue. You have to question, why are they attacking a Twitch streamer when bitches are paying their fucking groceries with Afterpay with fucking Klarna or Affirm or whatever? Like, why are you attacking a Twitch streamer when you haven't even attacked Donald Trump this hard? Do you guys just keep, you know, bowing for whatever Trump says? But a Twitch streamer trying to bring on progressive politics into the mainstream, that is your enemy? That's crazy. That reminds me that Francesca Hong, who by most measures was really in like the running t towards becoming like the governor of Wisconsin. She lost to David Crowley, who was an establishment Dem who had dropped out just a few weeks prior to the election, but through a long case of bullshit, ended up pulling up ahead for less than 1%. Through funding by AIPAC, through funding by the data centers. Like, this is where shit is coming from. They want to defeat all these progressive people to keep making fucking money. Because how the fuck did somebody who was like dead last, basically, in the governor race, how was he able to pull ahead, you know, by less than 1%, mind you, after only a couple weeks? And it's because of all the fucking money that David Crowley had behind him, right? So is this a recession indicator? Because it shows that these Democrats who already have all this fucking money, who are already like badgering us with emails and texts about like donating to their cause to defeat Donald Trump, like apparently that's not enough because they still need money from these super PACs, from these corporations to fuck over the American people. And to make a target about a Hassan Piker, who is essentially the Joe Rogan of the left, right? Again, I don't agree with this motherfucker on quite a couple things. And that doesn't mean that he's not effective at what he does. And that's mostly like galvanizing like a progressive, sure, mostly white, like young, mostly male audience that had been pushed out of like politics, had been disillusioned with things, and is now rallying behind progressive like causes. And I'm not saying that all of his fan base is white, but girl, I saw him at fucking Portland recently, and yeah, bitch, it's pretty white. Sure, it's not all male. That was mostly for effect, but and maybe it's just because I'm in Portland, bitch. But no, I don't know, girl, because I did go see Cardi in a couple months ago, and that was a stadium full of people of color, pretty much exclusively. So there's people of color in Portland, but you know, the Democrats were like scavenging for, you know, the Joe Rogan of the left. Because Joe Rogan, if in case you didn't know, he's like this retired like fighter who then tried to be a comedian and started a very successful podcast where he's basically platformed all the big right-wing figures that we can think of right now, including Donald Trump, and has basically become like a right-wing kingmaker and conspiracy theorist. And some even credit him with Donald Trump's like marginal win in the most recent election. Because Trump did go to his podcast shortly before the last election. And so now that we have somebody who's galvanizing young people, young voters, not only into actually voting, but into phone banking, to door knocking, to donating, you want to push this motherfucker away. Not only that, by joining forces with the right wing, who as of last like tally, have mentioned him something like 250 times in the last couple of weeks, whereas they've only mentioned the war on Iran about like 40, 50 times in the same time frame. Like, they're trying to distract us from the fact that we are fighting a losing war in Iran that is driving up the cost of, most noticeably gas, but also all of our other goods, right? Without gas, your goods can't travel. Without the Strait of Hormuz, there's trade blockage. Like, there are things that we are not going to get, right? Or that we're going to get at a much higher price through much more difficult ways of exporting. And so, by focusing on this boogeyman of this leftist podcaster, Twitch streamer, Hassan, we are distracting the American people in a time, specifically during midterms, which is one of the most important elections right now, as we're, when we were supposed to have all hands on deck to actually turn the House and the Senate and to start chipping away at Trump's power, we're instead attacking the far left, quote unquote, who are not even that far left. Like, who was it? Abdul Sayed still sees himself as a capitalist. Like, he describes himself as a capitalist, bitch. Like, come the fuck on. Like, the Democrats don't like to win. Like, they actively want to lose because they get to position themselves as victims continuously and continue to use that victimhood as a way of fundraising, and lining their pockets, continuing to line their pockets instead of helping the people who voted them into power, right? Basically, all politicians have been wasting time with a fucking Twitch streamer instead of talking about shit that's really mattering to the American people. Like the fact that Puerto Rico doesn't have water right now, and their fucking governor's telling them to conserve water and shit. Meanwhile, other luxury places and corporations are just wasting away at water. And Puerto Rico's facing a fucking heat wave. People have, as of right now, been like weeks now without water. They've had to like buy gallons of water in order to be able to live their fucking lives. This also, like, I don't know if y'all knew, but Indiana was facing horrible winds that have left people without power for weeks. That means that they have no food because their fridge isn't fucking running, right? And instead of like pointing our attention in these specific ways that are actually affecting American people, we are instead, and I mean, this is the royal we as the Democratic Party, not we as in you and I, of course, listener, but the Democrats are instead of wasting time defending their, their comfort genocidal state, right? Instead of helping their constituents. Like, girl, they should do like fucking China did recently, and which sentenced a billionaire to life in prison. Just a couple of days ago, like about a week ago, the Chinese court sentenced Evergrande founder Huikun Yang to life in prison Following the massive collapse of his real estate empire, after he pleaded guilty to charges, which included large-scale financial fraud, fundraising fraud, bribery, and illegally taking public deposits. Yeah, that's the kind of shit we should be doing to these folks. I'm sorry, like, abolish prisons, but fucking, jail billionaires, jail these motherfuckers stealing from the American people, stealing from you and I, who are getting all these tax cuts, supposedly making jobs and shit, when in reality they're just shipping their jobs out, where they can pay lower wages, right? Like a lot of places in Asia and Latin America. Like that's who we should be joining up against. That said, there are some key races to look into coming up. Angie Nixon is someone who folks should keep an eye on. She's running for Democratic Senate. And she's got the support of the Democratic Socialists of America. And so, yeah, we got a rally behind her. Oliver Larkin was also running in Florida, but he lost recently. But there are some races to keep our eyes on. There's a lot of hope still out there. And we got to make sure these all these motherfuckers who are wasting our time attacking streamers and bowing to Israel instead of fucking bowing to the people that they committed to serving, make sure to get the fuck out of office. There's no reason why Cory Booker is still fucking in power. Like, that is crazy. John Fetterman, that motherfucker needs to go the fuck out like immediately. That dude is an absolute psyop. Like, he ran on a progressive candidacy and immediately flipped the script, basically, not too long into his time. We need to get that motherfucker out. And yeah, keep your ears tuned to these folks. I am gonna do a there's so much to talk about that's happening in Oregon right now, but I feel like I'm gonna have to make a whole episode just about like the Oregon elections. And so I'll just keep it at this for now. And while we're at it about voting people out, we also have to start asking, where the fuck is Mitch McConnell? Why does he get to work from home and have paid leave going on months now, when he's voted to not give folks paid leave, specifically maternity leave before? But this bitch gets to supposedly work from home because he's supposedly sick. No, bitch, that motherfucker's dead. Like, I am 100% sure this bitch is dead. It's been almost months now. People thought that the death announcement was going to come out in the beginning of August, because that's when his the Republican like party could just put in someone else to replace him to finish his term, where the special election limitations wouldn't apply. But there's still no death announcement. There's just like some photos of him wearing the same fucking clothes, looking like glassy-eyed as fuck, with accusations of AI, written statements that we don't know that come from him. I want to remind you, this is the same bitch that like kept collapsing randomly during press conferences. You're telling me this bitch has been able to keep it together? Like, no, this motherfucker is super dead, and they're not telling us because they want to disempower the American people again. Damn, that reminds me of all the bullshit that's been happening with Karen Bass versus Nithya Raman. They had a debate recently that was supposed to be an easy home run for Karen Bass. It was held by the fucking Hosted by the fucking Sherman Oaks Homeowners Association, bitch. In like a fucking, like, what looked like essentially a school gym. It was with a wrinkled ass banner. It was so fucking lowbrow. Mind you, Sherman Oaks is like one of the richer counties in LA. But Karen Bass was taken to task for her record on homelessness, on housing, on public safety, and some of the things that came out to light is that like Karen Bass wanted to get rid of like street vendors, particularly taco trucks, which is fucking crazy in a city like Los Angeles, which is already like primarily like Latino. You want to get rid of taco trucks, which are like the lifeblood of a lot of Los Angeles workers. Like, if you're working out in the fucking factories in like Vernon and like City of Industry and all that, all the spaces that don't have like a fucking strip mall or a local eatery. And there's a lot of that in LA. People forget. LA is such a sprawl, and there are so many places that don't have like an immediate like restaurant, even a McDonald's. It's a taco truck that saves your ass. Like, and that's where you go when you're working at a random like factory and things like that. You're telling me, Karen Bass, that instead of like trying to make these people's lives easier, you want to get rid of it? Like, how out of touch are you? It's also notable that so like in the debate, Nithya Raman brought up that Karen Bass hasn't showed up to like more than half of the meetings about the LA homeless for the LA Homeless Services Authority Commission, which oversees like the homeless situation in LA, and for which Nithya Raman is the chair, and for which she has like succeeded in a lot of ways. Like, she's capped rent, she's lowered homelessness by 50% in her area, as opposed to other parts in LA where it hasn't gone as well. And what has happened as an aftermath of this is that Nithya Raman was removed as chair of the homelessness committee of LA by one of Karen Bass's allies, right? So she's essentially retaliating. Karen Bass is retaliating against Nithya Raman for daring to run against her and daring to call out her record with homeless people. So shit like this has been going on in the Democratic primaries in ways that demonstrate again that like Democrats are more concerned with consolidating power, attacking marginalized people than they are with beating Republicans. So we have a choice, LA for mayor, and Nithya Raman was not my first choice, right? I was a big Ray fan, and still think that there was a lot of work she could have done to really improve her campaign. But Nithya Raman is as close to a fucking Mamdani as LA is gonna get for the next few years or so, just the way shit is set up. So if you want anything close to resembling any of the fucking paradise New York has been living under, you gotta go for Nithya, homie. So that is I think it for this episode. And so with that, I want to talk about things that have made me less bitter. And as dark as this might seem, we've Lost a Legend this week with Dolly Parton, who died at 80. And Dolly Parton, what an extraordinary woman. It does not make me less bitter that she has died. It has made me less bitter to see all the good that she has done in this world and how she's united, particularly the American people, with her kindness. Like, she is one of those people who are like truly, there's a lot of Christians in this world, or Catholics, religious people in general, who say they're following God's law, but then they go on and lead a life of like evil, of like real darkness, of hatred towards their fellow man. And Dolly Parton was not like that. Like, she really loved people. She really worked to improve the lives of people, even when it wasn't her fucking job. Like, she was just an entertainer. And so seeing all the good that has come out, all the eulogies people have done for her, and bringing up all the good things she has done, right? Beyond the hits, beyond, art on its own can be enough to miss somebody. And of course, Dolly Parton has given us a lifetime of hits and songs that will be immortal. But she's also done things like, use residuals from her credits on I Will Always Love You, the Whitney Houston cover, to fund black neighborhoods. She's also purposely set up like some of her headquarters in black neighborhoods in Tennessee, and that's to bring commerce to them, right? She's also created jobs in Tennessee through Dollywood, which was previously like a celebration of just like Appalachian culture and all that, and slowly turned into essentially a museum for Dolly. Most importantly, like, she set up the Imagination Library, which has given out 500 million books to children. And if you don't know the Imagination Library, it's a library she set up to fight illiteracy in this nation. And essentially, you sign up and you give, and every child gets like a book every month from ages like 0 to 5. And that is alone, like, reading is one of the most important things in this world. It's almost impossible to get through this world without being able to have some basic reading skills, right? And Dolly Parton started this because her father was illiterate. And going back to everybody like eulogizing her, you also have all these Republicans eulogizing her and saying how sad they are that she's gone. Meanwhile, they defunded all the government help to this program. So once again, fuck them. And cheers to Dolly for always doing the right fucking thing. Even this Imagination Library thing, she could have been a billionaire, but she donated so much of her personal wealth that she literally brought down her like gross net worth, right? She literally forbid herself essentially from ever becoming a billionaire because of how much she was giving back to people, which is crazy. Like, your fave, my fave, could never. Girl, Beyonce, Taylor Swift ain't doing that shit. All these other fucking billionaires out there ain't doing that shit. But Dolly did. And she should be an example to all of us on what kindness can really do in this world. And yeah, with that, I'm gonna end the episode. Thank you for joining me. And I hope you also have something that made you less bitter. Go ahead and leave it in the comments. Tell me what's made you less bitter this week. All right. Take care of yourselves. Bye. Before we leave, I want to give a shout out to all of my I Know Her Level patrons, including Fernando Peña, Selena Portera, Miranda E, Magdalena Salcedo, Ronnie Leyva, and Bianca Garcia. Y'all are badass. I absolutely know all y'all. Thank y'all for supporting us. And make sure that if you also want to be somebody that we know over here on Bitter Brown Fams, go to the link in the description, patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. Any little bit goes a long way. Thank you guys. I'll see you next time. Bye.